This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, April 7th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin, Ether, even Dogecoin. Cryptocurrencies have found their way back into the mainstream conversation. Some financial firms are betting that this time they're here to stay. And they want to have a say in how cryptocurrencies are regulated. To that end, Fidelity, Square, Coinbase, and others are launching a Bitcoin trade group to lobby policymakers, take up research projects, and otherwise champion the emerging technology. Our financial editor, Jeffrey Rogo, will join us with the details after these headlines. Trade groups representing hardware stores, booksellers, grocers, and others are teaming up to take on Amazon. The National Coalition launched a campaign yesterday to lobby for stricter antitrust laws, including legislation that would prevent the owner of a dominant online marketplace from competing with other sellers on its platform. That could effectively force Amazon to separate its retail product business from its online marketplace. The coalition, which is calling itself Small Business Rising, also wants tougher enforcement of competition laws and legal changes that would make it easier for the government to win antitrust lawsuits against big companies. Our tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy had a long conversation about this with our sister podcast, What's News?
The hope is that local retailers who have connections in their local communities will get the attention of members of Congress in a way that, you know, other interest groups may not be able to. They're also going to be trying to get local media coverage of this issue and educating one another, educating other business owners about competition law and antitrust issues. You know, small businesses historically haven't been as well organized as big businesses when it comes to trying to have influence in Washington. And this group is really trying to change that by working together.
A spokesperson for Amazon called the efforts, quote, misguided interventions in the free market, and said that they would kill off independent retailers and punish consumers. Speaking of Amazon, a new report from the research firm eMarketer shows that the company now holds more than 10% of the online advertising market, up from 7.8% the year before. It's still a small share compared to market leaders Google and Facebook, but the report predicts that Amazon will continue to grow as brands increasingly use it to help them reach an expanding base of e-commerce customers. And tech companies are betting that customers are ready for augmented reality glasses. Facebook, Apple, and others have been racing to develop these kinds of wearable AR products. But our tech editor, Bodhi Atwai, says they'll have to overcome some of the same hurdles that plagued earlier versions of the technology.
Aside from, you know, the technology itself, you know, being sort of difficult, like how can you, you know, you have to build something with enough computing power so the batteries don't drain, so you don't make something so hot that it like literally burns your face, right? There are a lot of things that the companies have to do. And also, you know, in addition to that, they have to figure out like, okay, do consumers want to buy this? You know, so part of this is going to be a marketing challenge. Part of this is going to be, you know, can we deliver something that people actually want?
All right, coming up next, why some financial companies are banding together to form a cryptocurrency trade group. That's after the break.
I'm Alex Yule, host of The Readback from Barron's. It's been an extraordinary year for stock markets, particularly for companies going public. IPOs soared, and they show no sign of slowing down. But the boom didn't come out of the blue, and there was plenty of pain on the road to IPO success. So how do you put a price on innovation? This season on The Readback, we'll find out. We're winding back the clock on a decade of IPOs, from Moderna and Facebook to Uber and Airbnb. The Readback is available wherever you get podcasts.
Cryptocurrencies have been on an upward swing lately, not just in price, but also in visibility and mainstream acceptance. And their rise has pushed some old-school institutions like banks and governments to take the trend more seriously. China even recently started its own digital currency, tied to the yuan. Now, as lawmakers in the U.S. begin to take digital assets more seriously, some financial firms are forming a trade group so they can help shape the policy around cryptocurrencies. Here to tell us more about it is our investing editor, Jeffrey Rogo. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us about this trade group. Who's behind it and what are they aiming to do?
It's a fascinating group. So what you have is a mix of sort of like old and new Wall Street. So you're taking Fidelity Investments, the firm of Ned Johnson and Peter Lynch, a stock picking behemoth, and partnering with Square and Paradigm and Coinbase. These are like new money crypto startups, and they're joining forces to lobby the government and put research together that pushes on crypto and how it can improve finance, how it can improve investing, and making sure that as it goes more mainstream, it doesn't get overregulated.
And I just want to take a step back here and acknowledge, you know, cryptocurrencies have been around for a while now. So how did we get here, and what's different about these big companies getting involved?
You know, cryptocurrencies have been around, and they've been a dream for a very long time. Our colleague Paul Vigna has written two books about it. And Paul, as wonderful a guy as he is, he didn't write those overnight. Like those those took a lot of time, and he's already two books in. So, that you know, crypto's been around for a while. And we saw in periods of time, 2016 and 2018, especially for Bitcoin, you saw big price rises. And they became part of the sort of cultural zeitgeist, sort of like, oh, I think you've probably read 4 billion stories that say like Bitcoin has found its moment. And that happens like every 2 years, like, all right, great, it's Bitcoin's moment. And then everybody forgets about it for 18 months. And then Bitcoin's new moment. The difference this time is it's not about price. It's being embraced by a lot of the people that can make it go mainstream. When Bank of New York, a custodial bank, is willing to hold it, that is a materially different place than we were a year and 2 years ago. When Fidelity, the largest administrator of our 401ks in the country, is embracing it, that's materially different. So I think in the past, we were obsessed with price and some sort of niche groups that were embracing it. I mean, the Sacramento Kings at one point a couple years ago allowed you to buy tickets and everyone got excited. That's cute and that's interesting. That is not Bank of New York and Fidelity. These are the underground plumbing of our financial system. And when the underground plumbing of an entire system embraces it, that is a new paradigm and a new place.
And I think the question is, why now? What is the opportunity these companies see at this particular moment?
You know, I think the moment we're in, I like to call it the TV living room moment. So televisions existed for a very long time, and only the rich had them, or only the tech savvy. And then all of a sudden, they were in everyone's living room. With Bitcoin and crypto, we're now in the living room moment of crypto's journey. It is not as much a niche product as it used to be. We are seeing Bank of New York is going to custody these assets, the crypto assets. Fidelity, this older Wall Street firm, is going to allow you to trade it on their platform. This is the living room moment. And I think as that happens, it goes on the radar of senators and congressmen and the president and people who are in large positions of power. There's a worry that if regular people are putting their 401ks in this, then they don't understand the risks of it, or people are using it to finance daily transactions in a very volatile currency. Like, all of those are now real risks. So it makes sense for the government to ask themselves, what is this thing and how does it need to be regulated? And these firms that are basing their growth and their future on what crypto is going to look like want to have a seat at the table.
Got it. And so looking to the future, do we know anything about the kinds of policies this new coalition will be pushing for and how receptive lawmakers might be to those ideas?
Look, there's an obvious assumption, which these groups want crypto to be probably as unregulated as possible. Like, they would like this, you know, they don't want this to be the Wild West. They recognize this is people's money and finance. Finance and money is about people's quality of life and their ability to like put their kids through school and put food on the table. This is core stuff to the way that we live as a society. They know that regulation is coming. They just want to make sure it's not onerous. In terms of the government, we don't know yet. You know, a lot of times with these things, you see one or two legislators really take the ball forward and really drive the conversation. We haven't seen that yet. It could come from an Elizabeth Warren, which I think would scare this group. Elizabeth Warren has a reputation for really coming after some of the more concerning Wall Street kind of stuff. If she starts putting this in her crosshairs, I'd see this group would probably start to fight back or push back in different ways. That said, it's Fidelity is at the top of this group, and no institution has a better relationship with their senator than Fidelity, a Massachusetts firm, and Elizabeth Warren, a Massachusetts senator. So there's a lot of like interesting wrinkles. I would say broadly, we don't really have a great sense on what the government thinks just yet. We know that regulators are looking into it and that senators and Congress are thinking about it and digesting it. we know the lobbying group's sort of end game is to extol the virtues. So that's what they're going to do.
And in the short term, what's next for this trade group? What are their next steps?
I think their next step, and you saw this with there's a group called Modern Markets, which pushes the proponent of this idea that there's a lot of trading in different venues and dark pools and all this like crazy Wall Street stuff. And they are a lobbying group that tries to push the idea that everything's on the up and up, that like markets are safe and regulated, and this is how it should go. In their early days, they really pushed a lot of research. They gave money to universities and research institutions to look at the current state of affairs in markets. I would expect this group to do the same. I am sure they are spending money, time, and resources to get research together that shows the benefits of cryptocurrency and the places that it can really bring societal change. And their goal is to put that research in the eyes of as many people as they can find.
Our investing editor, Jeffrey Rogo. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.